Earners, what's up? Y'all know the adage, buy low, sell high. It's easy to say, hard to do. For example, high interest rates are crushing the real estate market right now. Demand is dropping and prices are falling, even for many of the best assets. It's no wonder the Fundrise Flagship Fund plans to go on a buying spree, expanding its billion-dollar real estate portfolio over the next few months. You can add the Fundrise Flagship Fund to your portfolio in just minutes and with as little as $10 by visiting fundrise.com/earn. That's fundrise.com/earn. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the Fundrise Flagship Fund before investing. This and other information can be found in the fund's prospectus at fundrise.com/flagship. This is a paid advertisement.
Earners, what's up? Look, if creating content is more than just a passion project for you, it's time to make the passion profitable. With Kajabi, you can easily diversify your revenue, build your brand, and transform your audience into loyal customers. I know firsthand how challenging it can be to juggle content creation and business development, but Kajabi makes it easy to streamline everything in one place. As a creator, you are your brand, so your business should reflect exactly what you envision. With Kajabi, not only can you build your business your way, but you can also keep every cent of what you earn. It's an all-in-one platform that lets you focus on what matters most, your content and your audience. And let's face it, we all need a little help sometimes, especially when you're a one-person show. But you don't need to hire a full-time team. You just need Kajabi. Kajabi is a leading all-in-one platform that helps creators and entrepreneurs build successful online businesses by unlocking predictable, recurring revenue. Whether you're a coach, content creator, or educator, Kajabi makes it easy to transform your skills, passions, and experiences into enriching online courses, exclusive membership sites, subscription podcasts, and more. The best part? Kajabi doesn't take a cut of your revenue. Everything you create is owned and controlled by you, so you keep 100% of what you earn. On top of that, Kajabi gives you robust analytics, easy payment options, email marketing tools, and customizable website templates, everything you need to grow your business seamlessly. And here's the thing, you don't need a massive audience to make sustainable income. Thousands of creators are making six and seven figures with Kajabi, even with less than 50,000 followers. So if you're navigating the challenges of generating revenue as a creator, Kajabi can be the game changer you need. Right now, Kajabi is offering an incredible deal, a free 30-day trial to help you kickstart your business. Just head over to kajabi.com/earn to get started. That's kajabi.com/earn. Join the creators and entrepreneurs who've made over $7 billion on their platforms and take control of your financial future with Kajabi today. Kajabi.com/earn. Don't miss out on this opportunity to turn your passion into profit.
Earners, what's going on? Listen, EYLU is relaunching, revamping, retooling. That's right, we're creating a new educational experience that's more expansive. Shadi, tell me what we got.
Yes, 2023. We got a lot in store, a lot planned for you guys. So you know that EYLU already includes monthly financial planning calls with me, book club calls with Troy, real estate calls with MG the Mortgage Guy, access to the Home Buying Blueprint, Volume 1 and Volume 2. Part of the revamp will include 27 local chapters from across the United States, live interactive teaching, hands-on, not just pre-recorded videos, plus 15 brand new curriculums.
The biggest just got bigger.
Head over to EYLUniversity.com. That's EYLUniversity.com. See you there.
All right, guys. Welcome back. We are back home. And we got a special episode. Mag Rodriguez, dope entrepreneur, innovator, and he has a company called Even. And it's revolutionizing the music space, where it's connecting artists to their fans in a revolutionary way as far as direct sales. When we talk about streaming, we're talking about, you know, pennies on a dollar. With your platform, I understand, you know, talking about dollars, right?
Dollars.
And as far as, you know, data collection, actually giving it to the artists as well, sharing with artists as far as, you know,
emails and numbers and different things of that nature. These are conversations that we've had with Ryan Leslie and LaRussell, even the pay what you want model. You know, that's something that LaRussell has championed. That's a feature on your platform as well, right? Right. So all of LaRussell has his own platform as well, I believe. But you've created an ecosystem where it's not just for one particular artist, it's for anybody, right?
Correct.
Like a Spotify, but for the artist to actually benefit, but also for the user to benefit as well, because there's other benefits that the user gets as well. So as far as the business model, I think you actually are on the platform.
I am on the platform. When I walked in, I said, you know, I'm on the platform, right? And he's like, yeah, I know you're on there, which is pretty dope that you actually know your customer.
Yeah. So yeah. First and foremost, thank you for coming. Appreciate it.
No, thank you guys for having me. Huge fan of the show and, you know, honored, honestly, to just tell you guys more about what we're doing and some of the artists that we're working with.
For sure. Well, Troy, why don't you start? Why don't you talk about your experience on the platform?
I mean, it's very interesting that we brought up LaRussell, and obviously is an alumni of the show, but we just loved everything he was about when it comes to independence. We talked about Nip and his influence, and when he told me that he wanted us to purchase the next album, I'm like, all right, cool, well, send me the link. And when he sent it to me, I'm like, all right, I'm not even sure what to do with this. I've never heard of this, and it was even. And so I signed up for it, and then you have to go through a process, and then it was like this, the birthday picture popped up, and it was like, there's the album. I was like, all right, this is cool. And I was like, I'm trying to figure out, why did he go this route? I obviously knew the Proud to Pay or Pay What You Want. Then I realized that he was releasing it exclusively 2 weeks before, and then I realized, oh, wait, so this is what the fans get. And then you're getting emails about special releases and then this special videos that he sent. And I'm like, oh, I get this process. And so now every time he drops an album, I get updated prior to it going to streaming platforms. Okay. And so it becomes, I would equate it to like in the sneaker world, like copping the Jordans 2 weeks before they came out.
Yeah.
This is like copping the music and having access to it 2 weeks before it came out, before it goes to pennies on a dollar. Artists get it dollars for the dollar, yep. But fans always get an exclusive to the artist that they want to patron with. So, I mean, the experience has been great. I know there was like another component in the world of crypto that we'll get into, which I thought was like, all right, this is different. This is revolutionary. So, yeah, a proud customer and patron on the platform for sure.
No, I appreciate it. I remember seeing it come through. And LaRussell actually sent me a text, and he was just like, yo, check out, bro. He just dropped some money. And I was like, oh man, this is dope to see. And you know, I think that's the beautiful part, right? Like, if you didn't already have a relationship with LaRussell, mm-hmm. he can see, oh wow, this person's actually a fan of me and I can reach out to him. And we've seen this happen now where like athletes, other celebrities are buying albums from an artist on the platform and they don't even have a relationship. Mm-hmm. And for them to actually be able to reach out and be like, yo, thank you for buying my album, because they have their phone number, they have their email, it's created brand partnerships for artists. It's created, you know, bookings for artists beyond just like the personal relationship that they can now build with these people. And it doesn't always have to be celebrity. They could also just be everyday people, right?
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. The conversation we had, it was interesting. It was the Proud to Pay or Pay What You Want. And so I wanted to set the bar, right? Because I know some people wanted to experience the music for free, but I wanted to show the appreciation for the craft and the brilliance that it took and the independence that it took to actually put out the project. So anytime he puts one out, I know he just dropped the joint with Hit-Boy, which is crazy. Yeah. Ridiculous. And then he actually released another exclusive just for the people. So yeah, man, it was, support comes in many different ways. So I just wanted to make sure I led by example. It wasn't just an episode.
No. Yeah. No, that's amazing. And I think that's part of the ethos, right? With Even, we're not just targeting the everyday fan, right? We're targeting anyone who, whether you want to just support the artist, you want to support the mission, right? I think LaRussell, I think a lot of his releases are always around like, I want to do, you know, he buys out the cafe, Momo's Cafe, mm-hmm. once a year. And you know that when you're buying an album, you're supporting a bigger cause. But it's not always that. It's sometimes it's just an artist. For example, we did a release with Kyle recently, who has like a pretty massive, super, you know, fan base. Mm-hmm. And his fans just wanted to listen to the music today, right? So we found the data showing that we have different motives of why people are coming to Even. Sometimes it's, you know, just supporting a friend. Sometimes it's, I love this artist and I want it now. So, yep.
So, all right. So how did this start? Like, what's the backstory of how you actually got started to doing it?
I've been working in music for 12 years. So I came up as a engineer, producer, turned manager. Two of my classmates in high school were incredible artists. One of them went on to sign to Yo Gotti during our junior year of high school, which was really like my first exposure to the music industry at that level, beyond just like us making music in a basement. And then my senior year of high school, I started managing another one of my classmates. His name was Ishtar. And then that took me on the road for 6 years. I graduated in May of 2012 from high school, and then we were on the road till 2018. Didn't go to college. It was just kind of on the run, managing this artist, built a roster of producers, songwriters, and really got a chance to experience streaming from its earliest days, right? Spotify was reaching out to us and saying, hey, get on the platform. This is how it works. And we're just like, no, we just want to release on SoundCloud. And, you know, I just did a panel with Gazi last week from Empire. And that was actually Nima and Gazi pulled us aside. This was like 2013, and they're like, you guys should upload to streaming, you guys can make some money. And sure enough, we did make money, right? But the numbers didn't make sense. But that was like a completely separate story. But yeah, I did that until 2018, and then I started working in the venture space. So I moved back to my hometown of Milwaukee and met these two guys, Joe and Troy, who had a venture fund, and they wanted to work in music. They wanted to build a music program. So I started building an accelerator for artists and managers, taking the Y Combinator model, but introducing it to artists and managers, helping them really incubate and build a business around them. And that's really where the roadblock started. When we started, you know, it was hard to educate artists and managers to run like a business when there was just roadblock after roadblock when it comes to actually building a sustainable business. And then that led me to run a music tech program for Universal. So I helped lead this music program for Universal called G-Beta through the Venture Fund. And that was really my first exposure to music tech. So I got to interface with different startups that wanted to revolutionize the music industry. But I found a common thread in those conversations. These were people who had never worked with artists and managers before. So they were trying to build something that artists didn't want, and in return, something that fans didn't want. I just got tired of it one day. And I was just like, look, guys, I got this idea. And I pitched the venture fund and they loved it. And they wrote me a check to start building Even. So this was February of 22. That's kind of how we got started.
Oh, bro. And when you first saw us, you get the check. But I mean, even the idea, like the inner workings, the mechanics of like actually getting the app off the ground, and, you know, what do you have to do? You have to contact record labels, you have to get the artists, because you're putting artists' music on your platform, right? So like you created your own streaming platform, pretty essentially.
In many ways, we're not a stream. I mean, we're really not a streaming platform. Okay. We are really an infrastructure for artists to be their own streaming platform, whether it's video, audio, content, chat features. It's really about making the artists have the tools, or really allowing the artists with the tools to become their own DSP.
So what is this? Okay. So what is that? You had to reach out every artist independently. You reach out to their managers. Like, how do you market yourself to even get the artists to sign up to your platform? And how many artists do you have on the platform now?
So right now we have 10,000 onboarded. We have 40,000 on the wait list. And then we have a network of about 5 million artists across our distribution and label partners. We just launched officially. Over the course of the next 6 months, we'll have about 1 million artists on the platform.
That's a lot.
Yeah. But to answer your question, the way that we started, I just started calling everyone in the network. Just like, yo, I have this idea. I want to sell music again in this new format. Really preaching direct to consumer. I got a chance to interface with consumer-based companies, startups, and I got to see, for example, one company go from $100K to exiting for hundreds of millions of dollars in the consumer space with only a couple hundred thousand consumers actually buying the product. And here I was working with artists that had millions of monthly listeners on Spotify that couldn't even pay their rent. And really just focusing on that data and going to people at labels, management teams, and saying, yo, why don't you try selling music before you upload it to streaming platforms? And at first, a lot of people looked at me like I was crazy. I did thousands of calls and meetings, and people were like, nah, Mac, people aren't going to buy music again. And then I met LaRussell in August of 2022. After the product was already built, I was just trying to shop it around, like see who wanted to be the first person. So I met LaRussell through JR. JR is now an advisor and a mentor, but he was working with LaRussell on that album. And JR called me one day. He's like, yo, I got your first artist. And I'm like, bro, you've said this before. But sure enough, he introduced me to LaRussell. And immediately, I mean, I remember my first conversation with LaRussell. He was like, everything you're describing, I'm already doing. Why should I come do it with you? And I was like, well, give me an opportunity to show you the power of the tool. And LaRussell didn't want to do it. Like, the day we were supposed to launch, he pulled out. He's like, nah, I'm good. And I called LaRussell and I was like, look, LaRussell, if I can get 200 people to buy your album, just give me the clearance to let people actually buy it. And then you can make up your mind. And he's like, if you get 200 people to buy my album, I'll announce this on my social media. And in 24 hours, I did 134 sales. And I called him disappointed. I was like, man, LaRussell, I only did 134 sales. He's like, you got 130 people to buy my album? I was like, yeah. On your platform? Yeah, showed him the revenue. And he's like, all right, bet, I'm going live on Instagram. And then he made 27,000 in the first 24 hours on the platform.
So how did you get people to buy his album?
I just called everyone on my network. Everyone. To friends, family, everyone. Everybody I knew on my... I was literally texting everyone. I was like, yo, buy this album. Yo, buy this album.
How much was he selling it for?
It was $1 minimum.
Yeah.
But it was pay what you want. So fans could literally pay whatever they want.
Yeah. So the people that's on platform now, is it all pay what you want, or is it like a set $5, $10 for an album?
It's up to the artist. Now, I will say 99% of the releases are pay what you want. We encourage our partners to do pay what you want. But what's interesting, we didn't call it pay what you want at first. We called it name your price. So the idea of pay what you want is, it was originally name your price. I mean, companies like Bandcamp have done it for a long time. We just changed the narrative after working with LaRussell. It just made sense. Like, pay what you want, right? Like, pay what it's worth to you, instead of this idea of, like, name your price felt a little... It didn't give any power to the creator, which... And then we just stuck with it, and it's been that way. We've only done maybe, I don't know, 10 releases where, like, they have a fixed rate, but the pay what you want always outweighs any of those releases.
So how does that work for the infrastructure? So if the artist makes the pay what you want and it goes from, I know it's scaled, right? So you can set it at $1, but you can go up to, is it capped at $1,000?
No, the cap is $10,000.
$10,000?
So that's the max a fan can pay currently.
So $10,000. And it goes from product to customer, right? How does the platform actually, is it the fees associated inside that purchase? How does it work for you guys from a business standpoint?
So on the business side, we take a 20% rev share on every transaction on the platform.
Okay.
But that's inclusive of transaction fees, PRO fees, currency conversion. So we have 135 currencies on the platform, and then 22 global payment methods. All of that comes out of Even side. So to break it down a little bit more, to that 20%, our margin is really anywhere between 13% to 15%, depending on the transaction of the user.
So what is the average, like, what's the mean as far as that people are actually paying?
The average right now fans are paying is $25 for an album and $9 for a single on the platform.
That's the average across all artists?
Across all artists.
That beats 99 cents.
I mean, it beats a third of a penny, right?
Right. I think that's why it's so innovative, right? Yeah. If the person, let's say I pay $1,000 for the album just as a fan and wanted to support the cause, but somebody pays $1, now your average is $500, right? Exactly. But you figure at that level, you can scale that all the way down to $25. That's way more than they're going to get for putting an album out on the streaming platform and getting 0.3 cents per sale.
Yeah. Per stream, right?
Yeah.
And that's assuming that they listen to it at least for 30 seconds, right?
That counts as a stream.
That counts as a stream. And then with the new guidelines that went into effect last week, artists on platforms like Spotify won't get paid for streams if that song didn't cross over 1,000 streams in a calendar year. So if you do 999 streams in a calendar year, you won't get paid for any of those streams.
So when you look at the landscape, I'm sure... the Spotify's, the SoundCloud's, the Tidal's, Amazon, YouTube Music. I'm sure. Are you making headways? Are you making dance? Are they coming after you in a sense where it's like,
no,
wait, we maybe need to adopt some of these practices? Or how's it been for you?
I think for us, our mission for Even, and it's really this, it's truth to its name, we want to grow the pie, right? We saw a gap, right? This is money that everyone's leaving on the table, right? Every other industry has adopted it, right? Let's take a company like Nike, right? Nike had 14% of their sales were direct to consumer 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. Last year, they did 50% of their sales direct to consumer. That doesn't mean people are no longer buying Nike at Foot Locker or Champs or wherever they go. They just now know that they can own their customer and the relationship with the customer that want those shoes. The company has doubled in size. Their stock price has doubled in price in the last 5 years for that exact same reason, right? Because the introduction and the adoption of, for example, the sneakers app, which is Nike's like main D2C platform, has allowed them to actually get more revenue from their users, or in this case, their customers. But the music industry has never had that opportunity. The same way that Hollywood can release Barbie and they can recoup on a weekend in theaters and then release it in streaming platforms 30 days later, right? That's really the ethos. It's not even or streaming, it's even and streaming. How can an artist maximize revenue but also engage with a fan base where less is really more? An artist can make $100K on even with 4,000 fans, right? To make $100K off of streaming, you need about, I don't know, 800 to 1.2 million fans to listen to your music every day for a full calendar year.
So let me ask you this, as far as like people paying, right? Obviously, if you're a diehard fan and you really support somebody, then, you know, but most people are diehard fans, they're casual listeners. Mm-hmm. So what's the benefit, or what's the marketing for consumers to want to spend more money than they have to for music?
Yeah, I would say it really varies on the consumer and the artist, right? On one side, we all have maybe two or three artists that we would actually pay for an album for, right? In this format.
And it's not a physical album.
It's not a physical album. It's just a digital access, proximity to the release. And also, fans come to even for the music, but they stay for everything else, right? So let's say I'm an artist and I'm releasing an album. You can buy my album. You can listen to the album, but you also get to interact in the chat feature, which is a community chat. Think of like Discord, but it lives on platform where fans can talk to other fans. The artist can talk to the fan, but then you also get the music videos. You get early access to merch. You get early access to tour tickets. Maybe there's a virtual release party with the artist, right? Every campaign is different. For example, the Russell's campaigns, he always does a documentary with an album where you buy the album and then you get access to the documentary, but you can only watch the documentary if you buy the album using Even. So the idea is fans are actually paying for proximity than they are just paying for the music. And I think on the other side, our number one consumer on Even is the frivolous spender. These are people who are just used to paying for stuff on the internet. You got Apple Pay, Google Pay. You have Cash App. Cash App is one of our number one transactions on the platform because it almost feels like you're not spending any money, right? So it's people just buying something because it's quick and easy. My argument always with people, it's try it. Have you ever pre-saved a song, right? Have you ever clicked on someone's bio and pre-saved a song on Spotify? Have you guys ever done that?
I'm not a Spotify guy.
Or Apple Music. Have you ever pre-saved a song in general?
Yeah. I think maybe once.
And did it bring you any benefit in that moment?
Not really.
And that's how the music industry operates now.
Kind of just got to wait.
You just got to wait, right? Yeah. The conversion, the ROI doesn't make sense for anyone. It doesn't make sense for the artist. It doesn't make sense for the fans. Labels, distribution companies, and independent artists are spending all this money just to get pre-saves that doesn't reward anyone. Just to have the song
when it gets released. When it gets uploaded.
The ROI should be just like any other consumer, right? We need an actual transaction to happen, and the transaction should be in dollars and not just clicks, right? So that's kind of the ethos. And that's how we work with, we work with distribution companies and record labels now. They at first were skeptical, like no one's going to pay for a release. But one fan pays $25, right? You're talking about the equivalent to 50, 60,000 streams in a matter of seconds, right? That revenue can really make a dent on an artist who just got a $50,000 advance. And we're seeing artists recoup on their advances before it goes to streaming, which never happened because it was impossible to recoup before you released the DSPs.
Yeah, so this is it. So 2022, you get the check.
Yep.
A couple of questions here around that. It's number one, how did you figure out the pricing needed or funding needed to get this off the ground? But you've been in beta phase for 2 years.
Correct.
So what have you learned throughout that process about funding? That you know now?
Well, I mean, I had a, I didn't go to college, right? So like I barely graduated from high school. And honestly, like, I always make the joke that I have no, like, formal training in anything. I don't really know how to do anything. But I did have an upper hand because I had an opportunity to work for a venture fund for 5 years. So I had enough of the inner workings of what it looks like. But it's different when you are the person writing checks than the person receiving checks. Because the control is always on the person writing the check. So for context, I built even with $100,000. That was my check. That was my first. Oh. My pre-seed round was 100K. And I was able to build a functional MVP, which is really just a prototype of a platform that did two things. You can buy and you can listen. That's all I was intended to do. And then from there, we were able to prove the model. We did 100K in revenue in the first 30 days. We were able to then go raise our seed round. So I ended up raising a $2.2 million seed round in December of 2022. To date, we've only raised $4.3 million as a company. And we're about to go after our Series A this summer.
So let me ask you this. As far as what is the significance of you guys' partnership with Luminate?
Luminate, yeah.
Which allows artists to actually chart on Billboard. How does that work?
Yeah, so Luminate is interesting. For context, right, Luminate is the agency that does all of the reporting for the recorded music industry, not just within the United States, but from around the world. They put out a report every single year. They used to be called Nielsen SoundScan. And they've gone through a lot of names over the years, but they are the agency that reports to Billboard. So when you see number one on Billboard or charted on Billboard, Luminate is the actual company that's doing the auditing on those sales. We've been talking to Luminate for 18 months, trying to get, you know, their stamp of approval. And just 8 weeks ago, they basically gave us the thumbs up to be able to report to them. So we've been an official reporter to them for 4 weeks. And yeah, we just finally made the announcement. It's something that the industry, I think, is really excited. I got way too many calls today when we made the announcement. I think a lot of people were skeptical, right? There's only 22 total U.S. digital reporters to Luminate, and we're one of 22. And this includes like Apple, Spotify, all the major DSPs, and then the major labels. So to be the first superfan app, quote unquote, to be Luminate eligible towards Billboard, I think it definitely raised a lot of eyebrows, right? Because it's really bringing the control and the power to an artist, where the only way you can chart to Billboard is by using iTunes or using a DSP. And now they can do it, you know. La Russell will probably chart on Billboard this year.
So is it one album for one?
One for one. Yeah. For context, for an album to be considered one album sale on streaming, you need 1,250 streams to equal one album sale. So you would have to listen to that album four times a day for a full year just to give that artist one album sale. But one fan can buy one album and it equals an album sale on Luminate.
So, all right. So, okay. Question that I have is, you have this platform where it's a one for one.
One for one.
You can pay whatever you want, right?
Correct.
You guys are the only platform that is credited on the Billboard from this company?
On the superfan side, yes. So, like, the term superfan is a hot word right now.
How did you become the only platform?
I kept bugging them to let us in, honestly.
What's the, like, they had to vet you guys? Yeah. You had to go through, like, a process where they know your numbers are correct? Like,
so there's a couple of integrations, right? So the way that their reporting works, essentially, they measure our sales from an accredited data processor. So in this case, Stripe. All of our sales happen through Stripe. We hand over all of our Stripe data from IP address, basically where the user lives, how much they paid, transaction time, transaction date. And then from there, they vet those transactions directly through our Stripe report.
Is there a metric of how many users or how many downloads a week or month that are needed to qualify?
Nope. We just have to report every single week. So you have to report every single week to stay eligible. The moment you don't report 1 week, you can't report for 4 weeks. And then you have to try it all over again.
Yeah, so like, let's just take, French was on the platform. Mm-hmm. So let's say French, if he sends 10,000, I think that puts him in the top 100.
Top 100, yeah.
For Billboard, for sure.
So French was actually our second artist on the platform.
Yeah. Talk about that. I mean, because this is a guy who obviously we know as a mainstream artist that signed with major labels, but actually chose your platform to put out one of the latest projects. What was that process of convincing him, or did it even take convincing to get him on the platform?
You know, French is, I think, normally, I mean, when we think of artists, right, we don't think of them as like thought leaders for some reason, right? But artists are some of the most innovative people, and they see the full landscape every single day, and they really influence culture in so many ways. French has been not only, I mean, talking about the crypto space, like French was in the D2C space for a while, right? Mm-hmm. He dove into the crypto space very early. And when I literally did like a 15-minute call with him right before I met LaRussell, and he was like, yo, I'm down. Once I got an album ready, let's do it. And we did LaRussell on October 1st, and we did French Montana October 12th. And probably the easiest release we've ever done, in the sense of like no hassles. He sent me files. He sent me the artwork, all of the metadata. We plugged it in. I usually have to chase artists to get them paid. Like he set up everything in advance, and he already understood the format. He understood the messaging, what he had to tell the fans, how to tell the fans, you know, the message. And yeah, it was exciting. It was really interesting. He also helped us really with our conversation around the importance of Luminate and being able to report to Luminate. He was like, man, I wish these sales would count towards Billboard. And that's why we didn't do his last album. Mm-hmm. He just dropped this here, just because at his level, he wants to report, and we weren't reporting yet. It was like a two week difference between we could have did the most latest project. But
has there been conversations with other artists, I guess, from mainstream that have gone your way or are about to go your way now that this has now been a change where you can report?
100%. Yeah. I mean, we've talked to maybe every major artist that you can think of, probably reached out in our first 6 months, and then we've been able to maintain a relationship. And this honestly was the big deal breaker for them. It's not being able to report to Billboard. Where now that we report to Billboard, you're probably going to see some of the biggest albums of the year this quarter and the next quarter dropping on the platform, because, you know, an artist sells 100,000 copies, you're number one on Billboard, and even allows you to do that. Yeah. Right. Instead of requiring millions of people to actually go listen to your music.
Yeah. I'm just wondering, like, in the day and age of number one albums, does reporting to Billboard even mean as much, right? If I can sell 8,000 albums and make way more money than having the number one album for, you know what I mean?
100%.
I mean, like, for the big artists, they still do, because they still track the numbers. But Kanye, when he took it, he was selling directly on his website, right? That ain't track on Billboard.
No.
So, all right. So the thing is, it's gonna go crazy, in my opinion, when a major artist exclusively puts an album on like your platform or a platform like that, because if they put it on a platform, like the diehard fans, it's a couple weeks early, but how I'm looking at it is like, okay, if you could put it on and just say, like, this is the only place you can get it from, right? It's a dollar, it's a album for album count as far as on Billboard. So even if you sell less albums, you still have a chance of charting on Billboard in a respectable manner, as opposed to, like you said, doing, because it's 1,100 streams equal one album?
1,250 streams.
Equal one album.
One album.
So just mathematically, you could sell tremendously less records and still have a respectable showing on Billboard.
100%.
With making a lot more money, because how much money do you get per stream? From like
a third of a penny?
Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah. So that's what, like, let's say a Future, right? And Metro Boomin, like, their next album, they came out on your platform and they say, okay, it's $10. Let's say they even charge an amount. It's $10 per album, which was, that's how much albums used to cost previously. This, it costs $10, right? Now, if they sell 100,000, that's very reasonable,
yeah,
right?
Then you can, like, I could see them doing that, yeah.
First week sales, yeah, right? So it's like, okay, that's going to chart them on Billboard somewhere.
And they made a million.
But they could probably even sell more. I could see them selling like a quarter million. Right, because they just charted, I think, at like 200,000 off of the streaming.
Just off of streaming alone.
So yeah, if they charted at 200,000 times 1,100, so that's 220 million streams that they got already, right? So if they get 220 million streams first week, you can assume that they could probably get a quarter million just buys, just like sales, physical buys, right? And now that would be 2.5 million for first week.
Yep. And get paid. Also, keep in mind, we pay daily for daily revenue. You make a million today, you have a million in your bank account today.
Yeah, just saying,
streaming pays you 3 months after. So if you make the 200 million streams today, you won't get that money until the next quarter.
Does it? Do you take into account to the publishing as well? How is that tracked?
So publishing is tracked per stream. So it's not on the actual transaction. So we track streams because the streams happen in platform behind the paywall. Mm-hmm. So we track the streams. We then report those to the PROs. So then we have a license with the PROs in this instance. And that's how the produce. But then also if the producers have points on the master, which most producers do, mm-hmm. they get paid daily as well on the master side. So you can add as many people on the split side and everyone gets paid daily.
But then most importantly, the 2.5 million that they would get, but they would get the information and the data.
The data, emails, phone numbers.
Now you got 250,000 people that you have. What data do you get?
All of it. So consumption, all the consumption data of like where it came from, right? Well, who was the referrer? Like, did they come from Instagram? Did they come from Twitter, TikTok, et cetera? So teams can also double down on the conversion. If something is converting more sales on Instagram, they can double down on the Instagram instead of, you know, Twitter or TikTok. And then, you know, all of like the first party data. So emails, phone numbers, zip code, how much they paid, what payment method they used. Trying to think. I think at a high level, that's based. And then, of course, like demographics, like age group, female, male.
So you become, that's your own distribution pretty much, right? Like, you know, and from a standpoint of.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Hey, it's Sean Nelson, founder and CEO of Lovesac and host of the Let Me Save You 25 Years podcast. Curious how successful people really made it? Tune in to hear from guests like Travis Mills, a true American hero, and Nate Checkitz, co-founder of Roan. We dive deep into their stories and lessons that shaped them so you can skip the trial and error and get straight to the good stuff. You can find me wherever you get your podcasts. That's Let Me Save You 25 Years with Sean Nelson. Listen now.
Marketing, rather than having a budget for it, I can send it directly to them.
Exactly.
Almost at any point I want, right? Because if 225,000 people buy it, I can literally send out a text or an email because I have the data to say, exclusive new album just for you.
Yep. And I know it's crazy when we talk about it out loud because you would think this should already happen, right? Like, but the truth is, artists don't get emails and phone numbers, like the basic first party data from ticketing platforms, streaming platforms, social media platforms. Most artists don't even have a mailing list. Like, did you receive an email?
Venues don't, a lot of times venues won't give you it either.
Ticketmaster
won't give you the information.
So think about what the deals will look like if Metro and Future show up to Live Nation and say, look, we got 250,000 people who bought our album. We know where they live. We know where they are, and that's why the Russell can go to any city in the United States and sell out a show in a matter of minutes, because he knows where they live and he knows how much they spent. You know, I've seen it firsthand a handful of times. We were in Atlanta for the conference, and he was like, I want to do a show today. He pulled his data. He sent out a text to everyone in Atlanta, sold out the show, made, you know, 5 figures in revenue. Without even having to promote a show at like 3 p.m. in the afternoon. If you've been to a La Russell show, you know they're always like early in the day. But it was amazing, right? Because he can manage his data at that level, which, you know, again, it makes so much sense, right? But that's really the leverage point. If I'm talking to an emerging artist, it's about the revenue. If I'm talking to an established artist, it's really about the data and showing them the power of what it means to have data.
Is there a component? Because I'm thinking about just the innovation to say, hey, I'm going to do a show today. Is there a live streaming component from Evening, right? So now, not only can I get the album, but if they do a show, I get the email about it, I get notified about it, but I can also watch it.
100%. Yeah, we do. We did Lauren Jauregui. She was in Fifth Harmony. She's one of like the bigger pop star artists on the platform. We've done 2 singles with her, and both singles included a virtual Q&A and a virtual performance. One was for the virtual Q&A was $15. If you paid over $15, and the concert was $30. So fans who paid over $30, and it happened all on platform, right? Think of like a Zoom where she just performed in her living room and there's these thousands of fans who paid over $30 just to watch her perform. And these are fans from around the world, right? Yeah. The true impact of Even is the global aspect. We have users in 190 countries and we support 135 currencies. That's double the amount of even like a Shopify. Mm-hmm. When we think about global fans, only 10% of the population will ever have the opportunity to see their favorite artist live, right? So we're talking about 90%, 7 billion people who will never have the opportunity to see Future or Metro, right? But they have a credit card in Malaysia or Brazil, and they want to listen to the album, but now they want the proximity to the artist. And that's really what fans are paying for. Through those virtual components that you're describing, they all happen on platform.
So what's the difference between the mobile app and the web-based version?
That exact same thing, right? I think we take for granted our data services in the US and Europe, right? Like we can have unlimited data on our phone, right? But when we think about users in other regions around the world where data caps are more strict, we never hand over files, right? So fans will never get the MP3 files of an album. But with the app now, they can do offline streaming. So they can download the music into the app and listen to it on the app without having to be tethered to the internet, primarily for like our global users. And honestly, like we didn't launch an app because we wanted to ship quickly, right? And get it in front of everyone. And we wanted the fans and the users of the platform to really determine when it's time for an app. In the last 3 months, they were like, drop the app, drop the app, drop the app. And then that's when it's time to build an app. A lot of times people build an app and no one wants it. You have to force people to download an app. We haven't even officially publicly announced the app beyond like the press release. And we have thousands of downloads because people just go looking for it. Or I think Lil Russell actually posted a screenshot of the app. and Lion Babe did too on their Instagram and people went looking for it. But I think that to us shows the demand of like, how do people want to actually consume content now as well?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest ways that people are consuming content that we may know a thing or two about is podcasting. So obviously you have music, but there are plenty of creators that are in this space and are dealing with some of the same issues that people dealt with in the music industry, where it's, you don't know how much a download is for, you don't really control your CPM. Are you guys looking to innovate in that space as well?
Yeah. So, I mean, we're already working with podcasts. We're working with filmmakers, comedians. A lot of what you'll see Q3 and Q4 this year is going to be what that infrastructure looks like for those creators. And you're right. You know, I think the other piece to highlight is platforms, the subscription-based platforms don't always make sense for consumers, but the one-time purchase will get people through the door, right? So the way that it would work, essentially think of like a podcast, fans can pay to opt in to watch the podcast. And as you release more episodes, people can continue to buy in to that one community instead of like a monthly subscription. And then we have added on perks, right? Like where our creators are really making most of their money is on the extra access points, right? Cool. The virtual Q&As, the eBooks, we've seen it all. I think we did a release where fans who pay over $100 get like a FaceTime call. And for that release, this artist had like 1,300 people pay this $100 for a FaceTime call, which was crazy. Now it was a headache for the artist just because now they have to sit through these 1,300.
They're happy that they create the group FaceTime.
But, you know, it gives you that idea of like how much are we people willing to spend for proximity, right? And other industries have shown us, right? Like you take the adult entertainment world, right? Like when OnlyFans came up, people were like, why would people pay for adult entertainment? It's free on the internet. And then now OnlyFans is what, making $9-10 billion a year, because people are willing to pay for, in that sense, intimacy. But with Even, it's people are paying for proximity.
So what's the global expansion? Like, what are you looking at as far as different regions? And, you know, obviously Afrobeats is going crazy right now. Technology is real big in Africa. We just came back from Ghana. Is that like on your radar? Like what's on your radar as far as global expansion?
You know, we've been thinking about global since day one, mostly because our team right now spread across 12 countries. So I'm originally from Mexico. My co-founder and CTO is based in Peru. Most of our staff right now is based across Latin America and Africa. And one of the most interesting things that we identified is there's fans around the world that will never have access to their favorite artists. So that's where we prioritize like getting these not only currencies from around the world on the platform, talking to a lot of governments, right? Like, hey, we want to carry your currency on our platform. But during those conversations, we found out that DSPs were never going to governments and letting them know that they were operating in their ecosystem, right? In Nigeria in particular, we've been working really closely with the government, mostly to incentivize the artists to use the platform in Nigeria. But what we found is that Afrobeats made $100 million in 2023 globally for the music industry. Only 2% of that revenue ended up in Nigeria, right? And it's the same thing that we've seen with reggaeton in Puerto Rico and Dominican Republic and Mexican regional music in Mexico and so on. It's any country that has a massive cultural export, the money very rarely ends up in those countries. And we have a system where we can pay artists right now in 135 countries in their native currency without them ever having to get paid in the United States, right? So we do the conversion for them on platform and they're paid in their country, allowing them to keep their money in their country. For context, most artists, global artists, are getting paid in the US or the UK, since most distribution companies are based there. And they get paid in the US, they get taxed 30 to 40%, and then they send it home and they get taxed 15 to 30%, which shouldn't happen, right? If they made their money in Nigeria, they should be getting paid in Nigeria. So that's been one of the conversations that we've been having primarily with like some of these global partnerships. And all of this honestly started with Ghana. Our first release was with Kwesi Arthur in the continent. He's a pretty big artist out of Ghana, and he made $5,000 in the first 24 hours on the platform, with 80% of the fans buying his album in Ghana. Now, We weren't even set up in January to accept payments in Ghana. So these fans were like figuring out how to buy the album. They needed US cards, and it's very complicated to buy something in the US, but it allowed us to basically build the infrastructure where now fans in Ghana can actually buy releases on Even. Every major insights company reached out in the music industry. Why are you selling music in Ghana? iTunes never launched in Ghana, right? No one's ever sold music in Ghana.
Well,
I mean, you think of the Western world, right? They don't. I mean, I think the honest answer is they didn't think that people had the money for it, right? I think when we think of traditionally Africa and Latin America, there is this idea that there isn't any money in these communities for people to actually spend money on the internet. But you think of Nigeria, for example, there's 225 million people. 60% of the population has a smartphone. Right. These are consumers that no one's necessarily even allowing to enter a marketplace. But then you think about how many creators are in that ecosystem that can benefit from selling directly to that community of people. So not, I don't want to get too technical, but hopefully that all makes
sense.
That's
good information. In terms of even as the infrastructure, because it feels, and maybe I read this, it feels like is there a label component too? Or is that something that you guys are looking to, or even give mentorship or guidance inside that space?
So we partner with labels. I think the biggest misconception is that we don't work with labels and distribution companies, mm-hmm. but about 90% of our releases have been with distribution companies and record labels. And for us, the idea is we want to grow the pie, right? We don't want to X anyone out, especially in the ecosystem. I think that's where a lot of companies have gone to fail in this space, is they say, F the label, F the distribution company. But for us, it's like, we know that artists have to grow, and the best way to grow is to work with the people who are financing the industry, but do it in a way where they can get their part and the artist can make their part, and everyone walks away with the data to actually be able to incubate and build sustainable careers. And that's what's allowed us to, you know, work with these distribution and label partners. But this is now extended to us working with the DSPs, right? We didn't want to make enemies in this space because streaming isn't going anywhere, right? Mm-hmm. I'd listen to music on Spotify and Apple Music, right? That's the same way that I watch Netflix, but I still went to go watch Dune 2, right? And paid $20, right? I could have waited till it hit a Netflix, but I really wanted to watch the film, so I went and paid $20, right? No one is canceling their Spotify account when they buy an album on Even, right? They're doing it to support the artists, get it early because they want it now. And then when it hits streaming, they're going to listen to it on their preferred streaming platform. And it's a new data point, right? And artist sales, take LaRussell, right? He has, what, 300,000 monthly listeners on Spotify? If that was your everyday artist, you wouldn't even think twice to think that that's a superstar, right? But his community is so strong because he actually sells units, where those 300,000 monthly listeners don't even mean anything because you know he has a community of people, which is now a new metric that didn't exist prior to this, unfortunately, since like the CD era. But CDs and streaming never really collided, unfortunately.
Yeah. This is, I mean, I feel like 4 years ago we had a conversation with Ryan Leslie, and it was the same concept about us being more. I know he released an album on the platform. Talk about your relationship with him and how that came together.
Man, it's interesting. I was on Ryan Leslie's super phone in high school, man. I thought I was texting Ryan Leslie, and it turned out that I was texting Ryan Leslie.
You were.
And what's crazy is I got a call October 2nd, the day after the launch, when we did with LaRussell, or the MVP launch. And it was a call, and I pick up, and I was like, hello? He was like, yo, it's Ryan. I'm like, Ryan who? Ryan Leslie. And I was like, all right. And I hang up. Calls me again. He's like, I'm going to send you a Zoom link. And we jump on Zoom, and he's sharing his screen of his Superphone dashboard, and he's showing me text messages of me texting Ryan Leslie happy birthday and like from like 10 years ago. And I was like, this is crazy. You've had my information this whole time, that he saw even on his, you know, on his feed, and he looked me up, and then he looked me up on his super phone, and sure enough, I was already there. But I credit Ryan Leslie and Nipsey, you know, for a lot of what we're doing with Even, right? They really laid out the blueprint of direct to consumer, owning your relationship with your fans, building community, because they've been doing it. And we released Ryan Leslie's new album, You Know My Speed, in January of this year on the platform, 2 weeks before DSPs. And it was crazy, one, to do that with someone that I've admired for a long time, right, as an innovator that he is in the space, but also to see his fan base from 10 years ago, right, still buying his new album today and engage with the platform in this way. It just spoke volumes, right? Because it worked back then and it works now. But now every artist can do it, right? Back then, you know, there was more loopholes that Ryan had to, technology wasn't where it was at now. So now every artist can go and build in this model that, you know. And it was interesting to also learn that Ryan was one of the people behind Ryan Nipsey Hussle, and working really closely with Nipsey as well. Yeah. And then, you know, I think beyond that, just like the personal component of him, like giving us the stamp of approval and being like, I'm going to drop. He could have dropped his album on his website. He literally could have. And he decided to come to Even, which, you know, still doesn't feel real personally for me. But yeah.
So you said that French he knows how to market it. How do you market it?
I think knowing how to talk to your audience, I think, is important. Right. This isn't. There's nothing passive about selling products, right? Music has been very passive, both on the creator side and on the consumer side. And this breaks that barrier, right? This isn't, I'm going to just put a link in my bio or a little story. This requires the artist to go and say, look, I have this body of work, and I know you're going to go look for it, but you got to come get it from me. You can get it everywhere else later, but if you want it today, you got to come get it from me. And that message just gravitates for people, right? It makes, when we think about the word like conscious consumer, right? We care about where our food comes from. We'd rather go to a local coffee shop than Starbucks, right? That makes up about 80% of the U.S. population, and it's growing beyond just the U.S. It allows people to feel good about how they consume something. And I think beyond that too, right? I think one of the big questions that comes up is, what stops people from leaking the music, right? Like,
yeah.
I pay for it. We also, when people bring up that question, I could talk about all the like logistical things that we do and all the, you know, security that we have on the platform. But I start leading with anyone who actually ever used a LimeWire, right? I'm sure. Did you guys ever use LimeWire?
1,000% Napster before that.
100%. Right. Like, would you trust LimeWire on your computer today?
I don't know. I don't think so.
You know, I think that's the argument that I start with, right? Like, pirating music was a thing that happened.
Yeah.
because the internet felt like this big world. But it's so it was inconvenient to do, right? You have to download the music, find the song, hope it wasn't Soulja Boy.
Yo, everybody know that Soulja Boy.
Oh, man.
And then the club turned into Soulja Boy.
You know, and then you have to upload it, right? Like, people are willing to pay for convenience, right? Yeah. And that just doesn't, people forget how small the piracy industry is. And I think that's one side. But the other side, we, of course, have every security tool that you can think of, from Audible Magic to PEX. When you check out the app, you can't take screenshots or screen recordings on the platform. And we monitor them. So when you take a screenshot, we will monitor that on the back end. We've never had a leak on the platform, right? Including our high profile releases like French, the Lawrence of the Worlds. And, you know, that's something that I think our partners really look at. And it required time, right? We've been doing this now for 2 years and people had to see it, right? It's one thing to say we have never had leaks on the platform. It's another thing to actually.
Well, how does the label, does the label have to approve the artist?
100%.
Yeah. So how does that work?
So the way that the revenue split on Even, it's 50% is considered music, 50% is considered access. So what that means is the actual transaction for the music is only 50%. So we can argue that fans are actually coming for the artist, so maybe it's less on the music side, but the truth is the fans wouldn't go if the music wasn't there. So 50% gets paid directly to the artists, and then the 50 goes to the label. If a fan pays $25, right, after Even's cut, 10 goes to the artist, 10 goes to the label. That's more than they were profiting on CDs.
But they've never had an issue where they told the artist, you can't do this, or they discouraged the artist from doing it.
Oh, 100%. People have said no all the time. Yeah.
The label.
The label, 100%.
And because they have relationships with Apple or Spotify or...
No,
it's a bad idea.
It's never on the DSP side. Honestly, a lot of it is always accounting. You have to understand that labels are built on a system where payouts are on a 3-month basis, right? Artists aren't just paid 2 to 3 months after every streaming period. Labels are also paid 2 to 3 months, right? Some of my biggest conversations with labels and distributors has been, what do you mean you're going to pay us daily? Like, can you pay us once a month?
They don't want to get paid.
They don't want to get paid daily. Why? Because they don't know how to, they don't have the infrastructure for it, which is a part of the problem. And I think that's where the education side for us, where I'm always very transparent. You know, I think one of the conversations that I had with a distributor, I was like, you sure you want to get paid daily? And they're like, no, we want to check at the end of the month. And I'm like, you don't know about a treasury account? Like, and they looked at the room and they're just like, can we even do that? And I was just like, well, if you don't, I will, right? Like, I could escrow this money and hold it and build interest. But you should be doing that, right? Like, we shouldn't. And now we have partners that actually did that, right? This is a whole new revenue model as a platform. But since we're paying them daily, they can actually grow interest on their revenue, because when fans pay for subscriptions every single month, right, $10 or $12, $13, whatever it is, and they don't pay the labels until 3 months later, how much interest did that platform already make on that money before they pay out, right? And again, it depends on who I'm talking to. Sometimes I talk to people and they just look at me like I'm crazy. But I think that's the value. And I say the same thing to artists, right? Like, I try to educate as much as I can of, like, you know, different tools. Me and LaRussell always talk about different tools, whether it's like a new bank he should check out, managing his expenses. I think that's been probably something that we want to dive into a little bit more. And we have some other stuff that we're going to be announcing this year on just financial literacy for our partners, because it's one thing to help people make their first dollar, the first 1,000 in music, which is happening every day on the platform. It's another thing of, like, what should you do with that money now as a business? Because in many ways, we are transitioning an artist from a hobbyist to an actual business the moment they make their first 1,000, 10,000 from music. But yeah.
Yeah, well, you brought up security. And it's interesting because I'm thinking, I remember those days. It was the reason I think that the piracy has gone down, because, like, where would you put it, right? Before, we would burn it, we put it on a CD, put that in your car, those things to play it on. Then you had the MP3 players. Those things are kind of going away now. So what are the challenges of security now? Because most of, I think the number one asset now is the data, right? Like, that's the gold of this generation. So what measures are you putting in place? How much time are your team spending on always updating security and making sure that data protection is in place?
Oh, man, that's probably been the most expensive thing that we've spent on in the last, since our beta launched last March to now, it's primarily around the infrastructure. And the amazing thing is we have these incredible tools that we work with, right? Stripe is our backend infrastructure for all payments. Mm-hmm. So we never actually have to hold any of that information that's held by Stripe. And the same thing on the data side with AWS. So AWS is our basically our backend and maybe everyone's backend right now.
Really?
So we never want to take on any of that liability and hold any of that data. We work with our partners. And now even for our CRM tool where you get the emails, the phone numbers, we work with Superphone. So all of that is powered by Superphone. And they actually hold all of the data on their servers. And they have all of the tools already built out. And I think, you know, anytime you're building a new product, instead of trying to rebuild, you know, the wheel, just work with the service providers that are already in the space. Mm. So we're fully compliant across not just the US, but also Europe, Asia, and anywhere where our partners are.
So Superphone has always been a CRM that you guys use? Or?
They're our first CRM. So have a CRM tool before that.
Okay.
Before all of the data would just live on Stripe.
Dope. That's good.
On the transaction side.
So you say you have 10,000 people on the platform?
10,000 artists.
And how many people have applied?
We have a little bit over 40,000 on the wait list.
So how do you decide who gets on and who doesn't?
So the best way to get artists on the platform is to work with a distribution partner. So we use our distribution partners as like a KYC process. Since we are dealing with payments, there's a lot of logistical paperwork that goes into actually paying people daily. So assuming that they don't have a distribution partner, then it's like a 4 to 6 week process of getting them onboarded directly through Stripe.
Who's the distribution? Like DistroKid, stuff like that?
Can't announce any of the distro partners yet, but yes, it's like the DIY distribution partners up to like your more premium distributors as well. And then labels as well, and like their subsidiaries as well.
Okay.
Is there a max number or an ideal number that we're looking for as a benchmark within the first year?
Honestly,
as far as like artists, users?
My number was 50,000 this year, right? I was like, I want to help 50,000 artists make their first $1,000 going direct to consumer. I think it's been a snowball effect in the last 3 months, where now we're on track to probably onboard over 1 million artists by Q3 of this year. And really just making sure that we have the infrastructure in place to really serve those artists. I think it's one thing to offer a tool, but if you don't have the tools to make sure that they're successful, it's not, you know, we have partners that have millions of artists on their distribution channels that are like, we want to make everyone and even artists. And we're just like, no, let's start. We like the crawl, walk, run model as a company. Mm-hmm. We understand that, you know, the relationship that we have with our artist partners is our priority number one. We have to do right by our artists before just trying to, you know, push volume.
And do artists join free? Is it free?
It's free. 100% free. So the platform is free. No subscription on the artist side or on the fan side.
So what's the plan for the company going forward? Is it to sell in a few years? Is it, what's the deal?
I think we're ways away before we think of like what the next stage of the platform. I think for me right now, the biggest priority has been how do we build something sustainable, right? I think building anything for a quick flip is never going to be worth it for anyone. You know, I think we've had numerous conversations around acquisition with every partner that you, the first person that comes to mind, we've talked to them. And I told them the same thing. I think it makes more sense for us to build what we're building right now in an intentional way, before we even get to that point. I mean, I talk about it every quarter with our board, right? It's like, are we going for an IPO or are we going for an exit? I think let's help. If we do right by the artists on the platform, everything else will come, right? How do we help 50,000, 100,000 artists become the next LaRussell, mm-hmm. right? That can incubate and build sustainable careers. Without having to deal with the vanity metrics that the music industry has kind of fueled everyone to think that they need.
So do you envision it as a unicorn? Because I'm thinking from a subscription standpoint, it's like, all right, I know how many customers I have on a yearly basis, monthly basis. I can calculate that to get an evaluation. Or is it just, are we basing it on the amount of revenue that we're bringing in? Right? $1 billion valuation? Like, what are we looking at?
I personally believe, and the data is showing, that we can grow the music industry's global revenue by 15 to 20% in the next 2 years, based on the amount of consumer trends that we're seeing on platform and the amount of interest that we're getting from fans, but also artists that have, the amount of artists who've been releasing music on streaming platforms for the past 10 years, who can't even make $15 a month from streaming, but are coming to the platform and making tens and thousands of dollars. There's a whole market of artists that streaming doesn't really benefit. But now they can use their revenue and the community from Even to help fuel their streaming, right? So they can build on two businesses. So, I mean, thinking of that in mind, 15 to 20%, I 100% believe Even will be a unicorn.
Yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense. Like, you see legacy artists, and they'll put out an album, and it's, oh, they only sold 8,000 units. Or they only, you know, I mean, on Billboard, and it's like, was that really an indication of their fan base? Whereas now, if they go direct, the 8,000, it's a different look.
And we do releases with legacy artists all the time, right? Like, those are, it's always incredible for me to work with an artist that, like, I was a huge fan of maybe 10 years ago, and they release on the platform, and the DSPs don't really care for anymore, right? They're not going to end up on a Rap Caviar or Now Playing. But for us, we know that there's an audience. There's a couple thousand people who are willing to pay, because those 1,000 or so people have stuck around for the last 10, 15 years of their career, and they end up making more money than they were going to generate off of streaming alone. Yeah.
And we can see, if you look at ticket sales from shows, live shows, they're still performing. And so there's still a play there where people are still engaged with the content that they're creating. Yeah.
And you're seeing that now. I mean, you're seeing legacy, like, think about hip hop in general. There's artists that can't tour in the States and sell 200 tickets, but they go to Europe and they're selling 1,000 plus venues because the proximity isn't there, right? And there's these, you know, people who have never seen X artists before in Germany, and all of a sudden they want to go and see that artist that they maybe listened to 10 years ago. That doesn't happen just in the States. And then you open up the world, right? There's only 32 global touring markets in the planet, only 10%. They're going back to that number of like 10% of the global population will only ever have proximity to their favorite artists. You open it up digitally and it opens up a new, without having to exert too much on the artist, right? Mm-hmm. I think the artists love Even because it's not something else that they have to do. It's something that they were already going to do. They're just replacing their pre-save campaign with their Buy My Album campaign.
I appreciate it, my brother. So the last question I have is like the bundle pack, right? Like, how does that work? Because like even when Nipsey, when he sold his album for $100, he had like merch involved. He had tickets to a show. So does your platform allow that, or is it just straight music?
Yeah, so we call them tiers on the platform. So the only, most releases have anywhere between 4 to 5 access tiers. Sometimes it's pay whatever you want and you get all of them. We recommend that you price it out, right? So maybe it's $10 just to listen to the album, right? That's the minimum. $25 and you get a virtual release party. $50, you get a free t-shirt. $100, you get a FaceTime call. $1,000, I'll come perform the album in your living room, which we've done with this, like, this artist went through the platform and he sold a couple $1,000 tiers where he would go to people's houses and perform the album, which was crazy that we saw that on the back end. But yeah, you can do tiers. We don't necessarily call them bundles because it's not, you can't, for example, if you pay $1,000, you would get everything from $1,000 under, not just the one pack.
But how do you track that as far as the response? So the music, somebody pays for it, you're going to give them the music. Correct. Like that, you can't control that. So how do you nab it? Because like somebody's promises and they never do anything, right? And then like, they look back and they blame you as a platform.
So all of that pieces is, it's really, we connect the artist and the fan, right? Post-transaction. So there is an open line of communication. The customer support email is the artist support email. Think of like a Shopify, right? We can start a Shopify store today and start selling, you know, whatever we want to sell on there. We have to abide by that transaction. And then, of course, that's really where the KYC process comes in with Stripe, where if an artist doesn't, any refund gets refunded to the artist on their account. Even if they already cashed out, that account is associated to their bank account and to that user. And that's where the Stripe protection comes in as an infrastructure, since they fuel, you know, 60 to 70% of the global transactions right now.
Got it. Well, appreciate it, my brother. Thank you. Thank you. Tell people the social website and everything like that.
Of course, of course. Download the app. Follow us on social media, even.biz, on all social media platforms, or our website, even.biz, across the board. But it is just Even. I think people think we're called even.biz, but it's really just Even. That's just a domain. Maybe one day we can afford the .com.
There it goes. Thank you, guys, for rocking with us. We'll see you next week. Peace.
Peace.
Appreciate you guys.
Yes, sir.
All right, bro. Dope, appreciate bro. It.
Thanks. Congrats,
man.
Thank you.
Congrats. Congrats.
I'm glad you made.
Thank you. Great question, Stu.
Yes, Sergeant.
Sergeant?
Yeah.
And I'll have which.
Pretty good.
Let's take a quick picture. Let's do it. Let's see if.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.